special guest was able to join us by the phone. Spencer Lee is an Elvis expert, and there's some really cool Elvis stuff going on in the world right now we wanted to check in on. Good morning, Spencer. How are you this morning? Spencer, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Hi, Matt. Good to speak to you from a very sunny Liverpool.
How are things in Liverpool this morning?
Amazing, actually. We haven't had rain. It's like Tuscany. We haven't had rain for about 3 weeks now. Our lawn used to look about the worst in the road, but everybody's lawn looks like ours now. It's just, you know, there's just no water, really. I'm surprised there hasn't been a hosepipe ban.
A hosepipe ban? Does that mean a watering ban? You can't water your lawn?
That's right. Don't you have them in America?
We do. We don't call it a hosepipe here. We just say, you know, you can't water your lawn. Or you can only do it on certain days.
No, but we're okay at the moment. We can actually water our lawn. But the weather is just amazing, and it's going to be a clear blue sky today, too.
Well, you know, it's great to talk to you, and thanks for jumping on the phone with us, Spencer. You are the author of an Elvis Presley book called Elvis Presley Caught in a Trap. Is that out yet, or is that coming out?
That came out a few months ago.
That came out actually last year for the 40th anniversary of Elvis's passing away, right?
That's right, yes. Yeah, and it's a book that I suppose has been about 50 years in the writing, because I've always wanted to do something on Elvis and have written articles on Elvis over the years, and I thought it would be really good to look at his whole life and try and work out, you know, what motivated him, or why he did certain things that he did. And in fact, that's why why the book is called Caught in a Trap. I mean, he was almost like a hamster on a wheel at times, you know, causing all those silly films that he made in Los and in later years, you know, doing shows over and over in Las Vegas. He was caught in another wheel there. He got caught in something and sort of didn't move on. And a lot of it is down to Colonel Parker, of course.
Well,
I do think in the later years that Priscilla, who really, I think, understood Elvis, although obviously she divorced him in the end. But I think she would have been a brilliant manager for him, and it's a great pity that she didn't replace Colonel Parker. And since Elvis has died, she's taken hold of his career very well, I think.
When you say he was caught in this, you know, it is Colonel Parker, of course, who was making a lot of the decisions. But did Elvis cause a lot of the problems himself because of the way he spent money or the way he took care of his career, that he kind of felt he had to do certain shows to keep up his lifestyle?
Well, money is a big factor. That is the one thing that Colonel Parker and Elvis Presley both had in common. They both like making money. And so Colonel Parker was making money for him. But Colonel Parker had no artistic sensibilities at all. And so if the money was right, Elvis would do it. And he was caught in some dreadful things. And a lot of the reasons for the bad songs in the films is simply because those writers were signed to Colonel Parker's publishing company, and it was more money for Elvis and the Colonel through that. And so it was a great pity, and people like Mort Shuman and Doc Pomus and Lieber and Stoller stopped writing for Elvis. And so he still had brilliant moments and still had brilliant songs, but some of them, you know, some of the songs like A Dog's Life are just dreadful.
And I don't know Elvis's work that well, just the truly famous work, I guess, that we see all the time. But the Elvis I know and think of, Spencer, is kind of the caricature, the 1970s Elvis towards the end in the fancy suits and the studs and everything like that.
Indeed. And in fact, if you see Elvis impersonators these days, they tend to be doing the later Elvis.
Sure.
Because you could be any shape at all and be the later Elvis. And it was the initial great Elvis in 1956, where he looked absolutely amazing. He looked like nobody else on the planet, sang like nobody else on the planet, and was getting songs like nobody else on the planet. He was just remarkable then. Interestingly enough, we in Britain got him very differently from you, because in America you had the Sun label, and Elvis made these records for Sun. And then he signed to RCA beginning of 1956, and the first single was Heartbreak Hotel. We didn't get anything in Britain until Heartbreak Hotel. We didn't know anything of his past career at all. And so it was like being visited by someone from another planet. There was although it's said that Rock Around the Clock and Heartbreak Hotel are the first big rock and roll hits, Heartbreak Hotel sounds nothing like Rock Around the Clock. It was totally unique, totally different. That amount of echo was astonishing. And I can remember being 11 years old, going to school, and getting the music papers, and seeing in the music papers, in the charts, this record called Heartbreak Hotel, which was an interesting title for a start, by someone called Elvis Presley. And I was thinking, gosh, there's somebody called Elvis Presley. That is a fantastic name. But I couldn't hear the record. The BBC hardly played any popular music in those days. And so it was touch and go whether you'd hear it on the BBC. I was too young to go into a record shop and sort of ask to hear the record in the booth because I was just a kid. And one day I was off from school with a touch of flu. And I can remember this clearly, and there was a very boring program on called Housewives Choice on the radio, which played records for housewives to listen to while doing the housework. I mean, these were different times.
Yes, they were.
And at the end of this program, there was always some uplifting word from a minister. And this particular morning I was listening to it. This minister said, "I have heard the worst record I have ever heard in my life. The person who made this will burn in hell." I mean, I'm exaggerating now, but you know what I mean. He really hated this record, and the record he played was Heartbreak Hotel. And he only played about 40 seconds of it, and he said, "Isn't that the most awful thing that has ever been put out?" And I heard these 40 seconds. Well, Elvis cured the sick because I got straight out of my sick bed when bought it. It was just a remarkable record, and I've loved Elvis Presley ever since.
Well, it's funny, Spencer, to talk to you from Liverpool, yet you're an Elvis expert. That seems very odd to us Americans, right?
Well, I've written quite a number of books on the Beatles. I mean, I've written quite a lot of books about popular music because that's what I really love. Well, the Beatles were great Elvis fans, of course, and did a few of his songs. But and I've interviewed so many people for BBC Radio Merseyside. In fact, I have actually interviewed, I'm not boasting here, it's just fact, I've interviewed more people about the Beatles than anybody else in the world.
Really?
Whether I've interviewed them well or not is another matter, but I just have because I've been doing my shows for so long on Radio Merseyside. So I've got this huge bank of interviews, and also when people came into Liverpool or when I interviewed celebrities and things, I also asked them about Elvis and asked them about the Beatles. So I got all these quotes about Elvis over the years. And I'd met people who'd worked with him, like Glenn D. Harden and James Burton. So I got so many quotes about Elvis, and I thought, well, this will give me something unique for the book. So many people talking about Elvis. I'm going to write the Elvis story and put these quotes in and see how it all comes together and what it looks like, and try and get some sort of motivation for Elvis's life. And I had a great deal of fun writing it because when Elvis went into the services, for example, in 1958, if there'd been a war on at the time, I'm sure that Colonel Parker wouldn't have allowed it. But he saw that it was great PR for Elvis to go into the army. But when you look at what his life was like in the army, he had a wonderful life there. I mean, it wasn't like any other soldier. I mean, he could go home for his dinner. He went home and slept at home, at his home in Germany, it was then, during the night. So he wasn't on the camp like a regular soldier. And obviously, the regular soldiers thought this was a bit odd. But, I mean, he was Elvis Presley, and that's what happened.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. We reached out to you, Spencer. We're speaking with Spencer Lee. He is the author of Elvis Presley Caught in a Trap. You can find it online. Reason we reached out to you and found you was because we needed an expert, because there was a story here that, you know, there's all sorts of crazy and interesting Elvis memorabilia out there. But yep. One of his private jets is up for sale. It's up for auction. It was bought just a year ago, and now it's up for auction again. But it's been parked in Roswell, New Mexico for, they say, over four decades. It's a 1962 Lockheed Jetstar. And the interesting thing is they say the interior has not been altered since Elvis Presley last owned it. Now, the pictures from the outside don't look that great. It's been sitting outside for four decades. I believe it doesn't even have its engine anymore. But they say the inside is still how Elvis had it. What is the craziest, most interesting pieces of Elvis memorabilia that are out there these days?
Well, one of them must be that. I mean, it's not actually been confirmed that Elvis actually designed the upholstery in it, but it's very close to the sort of things that Elvis liked, and, you know, the sort of things that he had in the jungle room, bright colours like red in there. So I can see that, yes, I mean, Elvis was behind that. The plane doesn't have an engine, so I'm not sure how you're going to get it to wherever you're going to take it to, and what you're going to do with it when you get it. You know, are they going to display it or what have you?
Yeah.
So there are problems with that. It is an extraordinary piece of memorabilia, yes. I mean, it's interesting that Elvis actually owned three planes, because I was reading a book on Richard Burton the other day, and he's flying somewhere, and he borrowed Frank Sinatra's plane. So a lot of these people, I think, had planes and loaned them out to other artists. Ricky Nelson, in fact, died in a plane that had been owned by Jerry Lee Lewis. Mm. So, you know, it's probably an interesting subject in itself, who actually owns the planes and what happened to them. But when you're talking about odd memorabilia, I can remember, I mean, I'm going to sound lunatic when I say this, but I can remember being in London once, and there was, across the water on the South Bank, there was an Elvis display which included Elvis's wart. He'd had a wart removed, and someone in the medical, one of the medics had taken this wart, and obviously it had been passed on, and it was there on display. And I thought, well, I must go and see this. So I can remember walking across the Thames and thinking, I am absolutely nuts, walking an extra mile or so just to go and see Elvis's wart. Admittedly, there were some of his fingernails there too.
Oh.
It is extraordinary what there is, actually.
Was there an admission fee to go see Elvis's warts and fingernails?
Oh, yes, yeah, it was an exhibition. It had other things with it, but they were the sort of selling features of this exhibition.
Well, now we know somebody has some Elvis DNA out there, and maybe they will clone him
someday.
Well,
exactly. This is it. If you've got something like that, maybe, you know, in 20, 30, 40 years' time, you could actually do something with that. I don't know. I mean, technology is just advancing at such a fast rate these days.
That is true.
But, I mean, there are so many odd thoughts about Elvis. I mean, if you look at the reviews of my book on Amazon, you will see that there are people who give the book one star because they say Elvis is still alive, and I haven't taken that into account.
Well,
there's nothing you can do about that these days.
That'll be the sequel. Elvis Presley Caught in a Trap is the book. It came out a year ago. We had the 40th anniversary a year ago, so we're coming up on 41 years since Elvis passed away. Spencer Lee is the author. We're running out of time here, Spencer, but I'd love to have you back another time.
Yeah, any time. I'm working on a book on Buddy Holly at the moment for the 60th anniversary.
Excellent, excellent. We will check in again soon. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone. Spencer Lee, the book Elvis Presley Caught in a Trap. Quick break, and then the news next on 720 WGN.